Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Trainer of Champions. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. This is a very special show that we have. Henry Haskopf is on vacation, and we also like to say to welcome our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, hello, Aaron. How are you today? Man, it's a beautiful spring day, finally, at the end of March. So, yeah, looking forward to lots of good stuff to talk about today, too, as you know. So, yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. First of all, I'd like to follow back up on that. Henry Haskopf is on vacation. He will be coming back, but next week, Tony Trim, and we send our prayers out to his family. Someone passed in his family and in a tragic event, and they lost their lives. And we're just sending our condolences out to Tony Trim, man. I know it's rough on you right now, but prayer is the tool, but changes things. And how do you heal a broken heart? Only the Lord can. That's what we always say, Bob. So be safe in your travels to and from where you have to go.
Holiday weekend like this, a lot of people traveling too, even you. So, yeah, everybody take care out there, really. We'll need that for the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Bob, there's a lot of stuff going on in boxing and around the world. What are some of the things that we got going on?
First of all, I want to go back to that, too, saying that, Henry is on vacation this week. But, hey, later on in the show, about quarter of or so, I'm going to talk about somebody who has some local ties here in the Schuylkill County area. So, not that I'm going to try to step in and fill the big shoes that Henry and Tony have, but, just a couple little things I want to toss out later, at the end of the show. But here at the beginning of the show, there is some news happening this week, and, probably one, aside from, of course, the big fight tonight, but let's talk a little bit about this, Alvarez, Canelo Alvarez. Now, the Nevada Athletic Commission scheduled a meeting with him for the 18th of April, and they're talking about maybe a one-year suspension, but kind of looking at a minimum of a six-month suspension, which is throwing that whole May 5th fight against Triple G, the unknown. We have no idea what's going on. We do know that MGM has actually been offering refunds. I guess T-Mobile, actually, the example, whoever, they're offering refunds for the tickets already. We know Billy Joe Saunders is not going to fight Triple G. He doesn't want to jump in that quick. He's still nursing an injury from his last fight, too. So it's kind of out there. We don't really know what's going to happen. And it's kind of a shame, too, because everybody's been looking forward, of course, to the fight tonight, but they had their calendar circle for May 5th, too, for that thing.
Yeah, well, it's a step-by-step process. I guess the Nevada Athletic Commission, they didn't want to make a special meeting in order to go over this. I guess they're going to wait to when they have their normal meeting to hear what's going on with Canelo Alvarez. And then I guess they're going to make a decision once they hear the case and all that. But, hey, look, like I all the time say, man, I hope it's not true. It's a great fight. He's a great fighter. And, there's some evidence, to my understanding, that he has some banned substance that he tested positive for. But he's been clean in a lot of world title fights, a lot of big fights. And it's very difficult to fathom that an athlete or a boxer on this level would try to go against the rules and regulations like that. He'd know he's going to get caught, but if I was Triple G, man, now's the time. if he's been on the juice and he gets off the juice, you see what happened in the Wilder fight. you know, they guy's not all juiced up or whatever.
With Ortiz,
yeah, right. he got flat cold. But and also, what you have to realize is that Canelo Alvarez is the draw. He's the one who puts the people in the seats. You know, Triple G's a good fighter, a great fighter, but in the box office, he don't put those kind of people in the seats. You have to look at the reality of things, and it's a shame for a great matchup that it may not happen. You know, and that's a shame on that part, and we might have to wait some time. And also, Triple G's not the youngest fighter in the bunch. His age is climbing up there. So there's a lot of great things that you have to look at in that, you know. So, but I hope the Nevada Athletic Commission makes the right decision in saying, hey, look, put him where he has to be tested in training. And if he flunks it in training, hey, look. And it's all about the mount that he had in his system, I think, you know.
You know, it's actually the same thing that Ortiz had, too, the contaminated meat. You know, so, to address that situation somewhere down the road, too, I think, you know, that these guys are eating something and, you know, showing up in this meat product and, you know, have to get, you know, addressing that.
Yeah. I think that you really have to look at the real experts on this thing and are the labs that they're going to take this urine specimen, is the lab clean? What's the process of the lab? You know, how many people that are tested in that lab come out with this testing positive for that? So there's a lot of factors in it that could be possible. That's looking at the best thing for Canelo Alvarez because he's tested clean so many times. And he's on a high standard as an athlete. And do you know, hey, look, Bob, boxers are the most tested athletes out there today. No other athlete. And they're not even, boxing is not even in the top 10 in fatalities. But yet, they're tested more regular than any other sport. Football, basketball, tennis, golf, you name them. They don't have that kind of testing in those sports. You know, could you imagine if all the NFL players, before they went out on the field and played every Sunday football, is that they would have to pass a drug test.
Right, yes.
Or the NBA, every time they go out on the basketball court, they have to test under those circumstances. And the pre-testing things are good, all right? But, you know, wouldn't it say if a guy competes and he tests is positive, then you can say he used this drug when he was competing? You see what I'm saying? So it's a lot of speculation, and we don't want to say neither. We're just giving some assumptions of ideals, you know, of things that go on in sports. Overall.
And, you know, there's a big, long list of banned substances, too. I mean, you really need somebody there who has the list in front of them. You know, I mean, it's long. It's not like, well, don't take this and this and this. It's, you know, 30, 40 different things and then offshoots and everything else, too. So, you know, it's really hard to even know from your end, like, what, can I take this aspirin, you know? you don't know.
Yeah, certain cold medicine. You know, just
right.
Say if a guy has catches a cold in training, and he ends up taking a sinus spray to open his sinuses up from a cold medicine. If he takes a sinus medicine overall that has a steroid in it. I know they ask you, have you been taking any over counter med? But certain things will show up, and so we're just saying. Hey, look at the overall thing. I think it's about the amount of it. Now, if there's an extreme amount of it in there, you say, hey, look, something's wrong with this extreme amount that's in there. But if he has the amount that's in his body from eating food, a steak or something like that, hey, it's possible that it could happen. And because he tested so many times, give him the benefit of the doubt. Let this big fight go on. Bob, I want to see this rumble, man.
We'll do, right? And, yeah, we want to see this one tonight, too. You know, it's going to be a big one tonight. But before we touch that, just want to touch briefly on Tyson Fury. You know, he always has to make some noise. There's always fights. He wants his part of the attention. And, you know, we called this months ago when Shannon Briggs was first talking about coming out of retirement. So Fury said this week that he wants to fight somebody over the summer, kind of a tune-up. And then in the fall, he wants to go against none other than Shannon Briggs. So you heard it here first.
Hey, I like Shannon Briggs.
That'll be fun. That'll be nice. Yeah, that'll be a good fight. Let's go. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, well, Shannon Briggs got to get a fight because he spends so much money traveling around trying to get a fight.
There you go.
He's always on the scene and on the screen screaming and shouting. You know, he got to get a fight. He spends so much trying to get a fight. You know what I mean? But
Fury's been looking for a fight for a while, too. You know, he's on the other same side. Fury, right? It's like he's been talking since, you know, for months now, since he got cleared. You know, he's fighting. But who's he fighting? You know, too. So even like this week, I'm going to fight somebody else and then Briggs. It's like, who's the somebody else? You know, like, let's start getting some things signed up here, you know, so we can get on with it. But,
yeah,
hey,
well,
anyway, tonight, yeah. Well, go ahead, finish up and then, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, last week there was a great heavyweight fight, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But, Bob, you go ahead and finish up what you got there.
Yeah, you just want to touch on the fight here tonight, Principality Stadium. That's where it's going to be, 80,000 people, Cardiff, Wales, and that's Anthony Joshua, who, just for everybody's knowledge, he's 20-0, all wins by knockout, taking on Joseph Parker, who's 24-0, 18 knockouts. And Joshua basically has three belts, too, because he has the IBO in there as well as the IBF and WBA. And Parker's got the WBO world title. You know what I liked about it this week, too? Joshua's attitude was like, I'm going in there as a challenger to Parker for his WBO belt, rather than the other way around, like I'm coming in and I'm going to be protecting my belt. He sounds like he's going to be an aggressive one. And they had their weigh-in yesterday, too, so Joshua came down in weight quite a bit there, 10 pounds lighter. They both 10 pounds lighter than their last fight. So Joshua came in at 242.25, and Parker's at 236.5. And what do you think about those weights? What do you got for tonight?
Well,
I mean, I like that attitude about going in and taking Parker's title, you know.
Anthony Joshua's something special anyway when it comes to his position as a gold medal winner in the Olympics anyway. He has the right attitude in order to be a great fighter. You know, you have to look at overround, but Parker can't be underestimated neither. He has a good extensive amateur career as an amateur. He's also a champion. He fought himself up to fight for the title and win it. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Parker's an offensive machine. He throws a lot of punches. He's very busy for a heavyweight, okay? And he's well-conditioned. He fights late in the fight. There's some good, solid wins that Parker has, such as Francois Botha, who was a former IBF champion. He stopped Francois Botha. Also, Cowie Meehan, who fought Lehman Brewster for the title. He stopped him, who's tall. So he's fought some good pedigree of fighters to get in the position in order to fight for the title and win it. And when you see guys with good names underneath their belt of former champions and former good contenders, it shows that the champion has some substance of good breed in him to be a champion by the people you fought. Now, Anthony Joshua, on the other hand, he's a gold medal Olympic winner, extensive amateur career. You know, that big with Vitaly Klitschko, who was just walking through the heavyweight division, a good win where he had to get up off the deck. And people question Anthony Joshua's chin. You know, I all the time say this. It ain't getting hit on the chin that goes down, because the best of them, whoever did it, have been down on the deck. It's what you do when you get up tells what kind of fighter or champion you are. And he got up off the deck to knock Klitschko out. And let me tell you, that's not an easy task, because Klitschko may be one of the best heavyweight finishers of all times. And when he had him in trouble, and then he turned the tide and got Klitschko in trouble, boy, oh, boy. And he knows, Anthony Joshua knows how to close the show, as we say, that makes something great, makes something special, what people like to see. They like to see the art and the signs of hitting and not getting hit. They like to see when a guy get hit, knocked down, what does he do? You know, but also boxing fans like, hey, if you get a guy hurt, we want to see you knock him down and knock him out. Not to see the guy, you know, get up or hurt or have to go. Just knock the guy out. Give him a 10 count, you know. And that it makes for an exciting night. And over there, and I want to tell you something, Bob. Over there in Wales, the last name of Snowell is very prevalent in England in that part of the country.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Noel, that name in Wales is very popular, the Snowell clan. So, you know, you just have to think, man, something special is going to go on tonight over in England. And let me tell you, there's a lot of bickering, too, with Higgins, who's Parker's promoter, and Hearns, who's Anthony Joshua's promoter. They're biting at their bit. I think them two guys want to take off the suit jacket.
Yeah.
And
we really have, there's other great title fights going on, too. And actually, we'll bring back the one there, Alexander Povetkin, 33-1 with 23 KOs. Now, he had been suspended earlier, too, and it's like his second fight back. But he's defending his WBA Intercontinental and WBO International Heavyweight titles against David Price, 22-4 with 18 KOs. Now, they're saying if Povetkin wins and Joshua wins, then that will be Povetkin the number one mandatory contender for the WBA title. And, you know, we talked about briefly the fight last week with Dillon White, who might end up fighting Wilder. So there's a lot on going on tonight, too, as far as who's going to win this, you know, Parker-Joshua fight, and all these other things might just fill into place. So, you know, that's something else to watch, that Povetkin fight, too.
Yeah, well, Bob, let me tell you what. Ron Hearns, man, let me tell you, he's a snooker guy, bro. And he's snookering at the bit, as they say. Let me tell you what. with Wilder, got on the plane to fly to England. He got there, said some type of demand that he was trying to put on Anthony Joshua. No, he got this big, huge fight coming up, and demand he show up, this and that, and then he flies out.
You know,
I don't know. You know, maybe the atmosphere was too bright, but if I was Wilder, I would have stayed there, got on the telecast. You know, you got all of those people who were at the weigh-in and all of that, all the media stuff that's going around. It was a chance to really, for him to get a worldwide media exposure over there, overseas, that lifts his value up. I would have stayed there and did the whole media bout. And let me tell you what, and if he really wants to fight, like Ron Hearn says, you know, he tried to cut a deal with Shelley Finkel, who he calls Shelley Winkle. You know, if they can't come to agreement, hey, look, Wilder, you don't need them, not in this age. If you want to make that big deal, you can go over there and put the pen in your hand, the contract or what you're guaranteed. You can sign to fight Anthony Joshua yourself. So let all of them people, you know, be in the way of you making millions and millions of dollars or getting the fight someone that you feel you can beat, where you have the power of the pen, where you can put the pen in your hand and you can sign the agreement, and all them have to live up to you that's with it. You know, in this day and age, they can't stop them from signing the contract. You know, so, you know, you could have went over there and cut the deal. maybe the deal was too big.
I don't know what happened there. But, yeah.
But I like, you know, I like the father because he's doing all kind of crazy moves and they can't figure him out. But let me tell you, Ron Hearns, he's snookering everybody. He got a couple policemen in white who now is the number one contender for Wilder's title, and then with Pavecchia and them like that. So he's playing the old snooker game. So, you know, you better watch. And the thing about Wilder is he's not a young heavyweight. Even though he hasn't been in no brawls or nothing, he still, if they push the fight a year from now, he's still a year older. He's an older fighter, and you got a young heavyweight like that, man. You know, you have to look at all of that in terms of how long can you wait. And, you know, we're talking about a potential over $20-some million deal, you know, for Wilder, where, you know, he's only getting $2.2 million now, a fight, a title defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to look at all of those things and biting at the bit.
Right. Hey, let's roll on a little bit here. Not a lot of news, a lot of fights. Everybody's going to be watching that one tonight, but we still have some action throughout the rest of the world. But let's finish up on that undercard tonight in Wales. We have undefeated bantamweight Ryan Burnett. He's 18-0. He's defending his WBA Super World Bantamweight title against Yanferes Parejo. He's 21-2-1. Josh Kelly, 5-0, and Carlos Malina, 28-8-2, vie for the vacant WBA International welterweight title. And both Joe Cordina, he's 6-0, and Hakeem Ben Ali, 19-5, seek the vacant WBA International lightweight title. Other action in the UK tonight, we'll see Mikhail Sailovatka, 19-1, 7 KOs, defending his WBA Continental Super Lightweight title against the 15-1 with 11 knockouts hometown product Robbie Davies Jr. in Liverpool. And in Lancashire, Liam Conroy, 15-3-1, defends his Triple BFC English light heavyweight title against Miles Shinkwin, 14-3. And it's the Clan Garrity, 16-2, versus John Quigley, 14-1, in a super featherweight co-feature. Over here in the U.S., it's unbeaten Jason Quigley, 13-0, 10 KOs, versus Daniel Rosario Cruz, 11-0, squaring off in a middleweight matchup in Quincy, Massachusetts, which also features the lightweight battle between Damon Allen, who's 14-0-1, and Alexis DeBosque, 13-4. And the middleweight fight with Yamaguchi Falcao, 14-0, stepping in against Richard Gutierrez, 30-17-2. Grand Island, Nebraska will host a card featuring unbeaten light heavyweight Steven Nelson, 9-0, going up against Mike Sawyer, who's 8-9. Montreal, Canada will see the vacant IBO International Super Welterweight title fight between Stephen Butler, 22-1-1, 15 knockouts, and Jaime Herrera, 15-5-5, 8 KOs. That's the co-headliner, along with the Custio Clayton, 13-0, versus Gabor Kovacs, 28-9-1, welterweight tilt. In Buenos Aires, Argentina, the vacant IBF Federation Latino Super Welterweight title will be decided between Hector Davis Saldivia, 46-5, 35 wins by KO, and Henri David Polanco, 12-3-1. Back over to Europe, the continental side, we'll see West Vlaanderen, Belgium, workhorse Inoshante Anianwu, who's 25-29-3. His name comes up about every couple of weeks. He's fighting fellow welterweight Bryce Bulagallo, 4-1-1. And in Valenciana, Spain, the welterweight match between Hamza Misawi, 6-1, and Karan Awutinian, 3-0, is the topper. Leipzig, Germany, super middleweight Ion Barsan, 3-16, and Jihad Nasi, 5-0-1, do battle. Over in Landes, France, the 16-0-1 Yannick Diaz defends his France welterweight title against Tamaz Adudev, 9-12, while Sofian Takus, 32-3-1, defends his IBF International Featherweight title against the challenger Sergio Prado, 13-7-2. That's the feature at Ballaruc-les-Bains. And in Eastern Down France, light heavyweight Thomas Farr, 12-3, and Dominique Saloy, 6-8-1, meet up. And over in Rabat, Morocco, on the African continent, is Khalid Habshane, 7-2-1, and Paata Fouadouchrili, 33-15-2. They vie for the vacant UBA World Super Welterweight. Kargana, the 15-4-1. Justice Adi will step in with debuting welterweight Richard Dogbega. On to Xinan, China, where super flyweight Zhang Qiu meets Biang Jianlu in South Korea in Seoul. The super featherweight matchup of Min Jan, 3-0 versus Dong Yong Lee, 2-0 is the headliner. Nagoya, Japan will see two unbeaten flyweights do battle as Kosei Tanaka, 10-0, takes on Ronnie Baldonado, 10-0-1. And over in Hamamatsu, the super featherweight clash between Omri Bolivar, 5-1, and Zuni Salajeo, 13-12-4, tops the bill. And in Jakarta, Indonesia, they host two title fights. Thibaut Monobesa, 16-0-2, defends his WBC International Silverlight Flyweight title versus Lester Abutan, who's 12-7-3, while Samuel Tewahu, 24-43-2, and Hamson Lamandao, 8-2-1, both seek the vacant UBO International Flyweight title. And that's our look around the world this week. Like I said, only about 13 countries today, but, you know, they want to take it a week off. They want to see the fight. They want to see the fight tonight.
We're 13 countries ain't bad, but right now we're going to go right to Chicago, Illinois, where we have our special guest, Eddie Davis. Welcome to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Eddie, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Aaron. Thank you.
Man, let me tell you, there's a lot of things going on around the world. As Bob read, our radio aficionado from 13 countries around the world, tell us what's going on. What's happening in boxing in Chicago, Eddie?
Well, we're developing these amateurs for further careers as far as going to the nationals, even possible professionals. We have a great program here in the city of Chicago. We have 14 gyms sponsored by the city of Chicago, and we have competition every other month to keep our kids busy.
Now, it's my understanding that this program with the city of Chicago, Nate Jones is involved with you and the program that y'all are doing. Is that correct?
Yeah, but Nate, he's at another gym during the day, and I have a gym in the evening. See, I go to two gyms every day. And in the evening, I have the kids, but during the day, I'm with the older fighters. And during the day, I train Chicago policemen and professionals.
Okay, what's the name of the gyms that you're at, Eddie?
Okay, Teller Park and Davis Square Park. The first park, Teller Park, is in the Bronzeville area. Davis Square Park is in the back of the yards area in Chicago on the south side.
On the south side. Okay, for y'all who don't know who Eddie Davis worked with me a lot in the latter years at King's Training Camp. He's a fine trainer in his own right, and he's doing an excellent job with these youths in the city of Chicago, where so many things are going on in the city. Eddie, don't y'all tutor the children up there too? Am I understanding?
Yes, we do. Yes, we have tutoring, after-school tutoring. We also have mentor programs to work with kids that have problems at home as far as abuse and, you know, among other things. And we also take kids on trips to other sides of the city so they can see other neighborhoods and appreciate, you know, Chicago and the better parts of Chicago to elevate themselves.
Wow. Now, you also feed them meals and stuff, too, don't you?
Well, during the summer. During the summer, we have lunch programs. But during the school year, you know, after school program, they have I'm going to say like snacks, after school snacks, like fruit.
Okay.
And you know, little snacks. But as far as meals, that don't happen till the summer.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great job that y'all are doing up there, Eddie. What? Any professional fights that's happening in Chicago that's up and coming?
It's a few. is it the Warriors putting on the card here, sponsoring some talent we have here? Warriors Promotion, they have cards here. And what they do, they get the pick of the best fighters and they put them on cards here. So we have a few that's on the card, Nate and I. We work with a couple of them.
Mm-hmm. So what do you feel about tonight's big heavyweight matchup between Anthony Joshua and Parker?
You know, Aaron, Parker's a decent boxer. I like him, but I think Joshua is stronger, and I think he got a more intelligent view on what he got to do because he's a nice counterpuncher. And he's developed since that Klitschko fight. He's improved, you know, because that was his graduation fight there. And I think Joshua's okay. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I think, Parker's okay, but I think Joshua's a little stronger and a little more skillful.
A little more skillful, yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah, that's the view. Hey, Bob, any questions for Eddie Davis?
No, I'm just happy to be talking to you, Eddie, and I just want to know, do you have anybody that you're looking forward to seeing fight in the near future, some local product out of Chicago? You might be able to give us a little hint as far as who's up and coming.
His name is Chris Osley. He's a middleweight. He's 5-0.
Chris Osley, okay.
And four of his fights was stopped just by body shots. He's a throwback.
Wow. Okay.
He works like a throwback fighter. Yeah, and he goes, what I did, I got a tape of Charlie Burley, and he studied it. It's called Black Murder's Row. And he's doing a lot of those moves. He's a throwback.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charlie Burley was something.
Yes, he was.
Charlie Burley was.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
So
what can we look for in the future, Eddie, coming from that great programs that y'all are running from two different gyms? What can we look in the future with your programs?
Well, look, Olympic trials. We're going to have individuals in Olympic trials and the nationals. We're developing now so they can be prepared for that. And we're going to have our goal is to at least have four or five fighters on the Olympic team, maybe more.
Wow. All right.
Wow. We're preparing them for national and international competition with our conditioning programs and the trainers because we have some great trainers here. Some great trainers. Alone in the Chicago Park District, three of these trainers have television prices. So, you know, it's real interesting, you know, with not only competition with the kids, but they also work with pro fighters. And for me to compete against them with the kids is great. It's a great thing here. It's a great thing.
Well, Eddie, you're doing a great job by giving back. You know, for working a long time with a lot of great professional players, fighters and stuff like that. And to go back and to help these children, man, that's what it's all about, you know.
Yes, it is,
man. Because boxing has no future without the young. And the only way we can clear up all of this nonsense that are happening in the street is that we have to motivate the children that everybody is somebody, and that you
That's
have
right.
to put the guns down and put the pens in the paper. Or, you know, boxing, if you want to be tough and you want to fight, come on in the gym. You can earn a
That's
good
right.
living by fighting, you know, and you have more pride about yourself, and it's very rewarding, boxing is, when you come into these programs, and you learn a lot. You know, they have all kind of avenues set up for you.
That's true. Young men are looking for a positive male image to guide them. And as coaches, we go through, we get all kind of kids from all kind of walks of life, and they look up to us. And as coaches, we had to set examples. as human beings. And somebody's going to teach them not only about boxing, but about life, developing them and getting them ready to get out here in this world.
Absolutely, Eddie. Well, look, we have our other guest, Jackie Sunshine Boxing, holding the cue for us. But, Eddie,
okay.
We'd like to thank you for coming on to the World Boxing Review radio show, man. It's an indeed pleasure, and you keep up the great work in the city of Chicago with that youth and making them champions, man. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming on.
Aaron, I'd like to thank you for showing me the ropes when I start working for Mr. King. I want to thank you for that.
Man, you're welcome, Eddie. It takes two to tangle, and you were a part of a lot of great things that happened. I'd like to thank you for being the person that you want to keep carrying the legacy. Keep working with them kids, man. That's what it's all about.
Okay, I will.
All right, brother.
All right.
Talk to you.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show, Eddie Davis. But without further ado, we'd like to thank our next guest, Bob, who has our own radio show, herself, TV show, all kinds of media things that she does from around the world. Without further ado, Jackie Sunshine Boxing Smith, as I call her, and she has many titles, but she's going to get mad at me and she's going to set the record straight. Welcome to the show, Jackie Sunshine Boxing Baby, with the radio aficionado Bob Murray. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Bob and Aaron.
Hi, Jackie.
I have a slight cough and allergy. It's Atlanta. It's hot. The pollen is everywhere, and I can't breathe.
Oh, you old Georgia peach, you stop that stuff now.
The first thing I have to say, Aaron always gets my name wrong. It's Jackie Sunshine Smith with the Sunshine Boxing Company. The Sunshine Boxing is the company. Jackie Sunshine Smith is the name.
Yeah, well, look, Jackie, we like to say this here, right? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, you're here? Okay. Look, you've done a lot of great community work to follow up with Eddie Davis was saying. I'm going to ask you a question that many people may not know about you. Is that with the King family, not Don King, you had a working relationship with King, but I'm talking about the great Martin Luther King and his family in Atlanta. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what you did with that organization?
Well, that's the King Center. And actually, during the time I really met Don King, I was actually involved in Atlanta with the King Center as a volunteer, the Atlanta NAACP, United Negro College Fund, because during that era, everyone in Atlanta, I think, was actively involved in civil rights. Even though it was not the civil rights era, this was another time period. But everyone, actually, it was about giving to the community and helping others. And that was the type of Atlanta that I moved to when I came here in Atlanta. Of course, it's no longer, that is not the culture here anymore. I can tell you that. But giving was always a big thing in Atlanta during our era to volunteer in political campaigns as well as those community organizations.
Yeah, well, you did a great job. And I can remember the first time I met you. This is probably close to 40 years ago. I don't want to say your age now. I want to get myself in trouble with Jackie because it has to be at least 40 years ago.
Well, I remember that day because you tried to kick me out of the boxing gym down at the training camp, and it was just so hilarious because you did not know that Miss King had sent us around there, me, Reverend Charles Williams, and I had another girlfriend with me from Atlanta. So, you know, we had been at the house talking, and she told CW, hey, you know, take on around there and let us see the training camp. So when we got there, you were like a deer in headlights when I walked in that door. You said, no women allowed. I'm like, oh, my God, he just yelled at me and told me to get out. Well, get out was your first word. I think no women allowed came afterwards. He was not hospitable to a Southern Belle.
Yeah.
And that was and I said it mildly compared to his facial expression and tone that he used to say get out. That was my first time meeting the Aaron.
Yeah, that was the policy at the time, and I did show you the big signs that were on the wall. You know, so I was just following the policy of the camp, and that has always been something. But as a media mogul who you are, you've done a lot of great interviews. From Don King, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, you name them. The list long is fine and distinguished, but not just in the United States. All over the continent. You've been to Russia, China, Vietnam, South America, North America, Cuba. So do you know how many interviews you have done through the time, Jackie? Have you counted?
No, I never thought about it. Come to think of it, I never thought about it. I was just doing it, and then a lot of times I probably miss some interviews, just taking it for granted that you'll see somebody later on or another time. But I did get them in, and I didn't realize how many legends that I was interviewing until one day I was someplace, and one of the fighters said to me, oh, I wish you would interview me, but you only interview the really big-time boxers, which I thought, oh, that's not true, because I interview local fighters. I go to the PAL boxing event from time to time and interview the PAL boxers at the gym, because Vernon Forrest, matter of fact, back in the day, Vernon Forrest used to hang out at the PAL gym. That was something we did here in Atlanta with, well, he's no longer officer. He's Sergeant Mike Vail now. In charge of Atlanta PAL boxing team.
Yeah.
Police athletic team. I should say that for those who don't know what PAL means.
Yeah, you're right. Well, look, Bob, you have any questions for Jackie Sunshine Boxing?
Oh, just, yeah, I know. This is wonderful talking with you, Jackie. So I'm just enjoying hearing the stories. And I love hearing that story about Aaron just now. That's a good one. So, my day's made. I could rip Aaron for that for a couple of weeks. I can get some material out of that.
Hey, as they say in boxing, the way they talk to you, it's like, oh, my goodness.
but Jackie, look, and they may not know behind that beautiful southern peach, right, that she can throw leather too. You used to train to box and all of that too, right?
Oh, well, yeah, okay. I used to take classes, and I still do from time to time when I drop in and drop out with Terry Moss at the Buckhead Fight Club. Yeah, Terry is a great trainer. She gets me in shape, man. I be feeling like Ali. I be walking out there like, yeah, I'll take on anybody. You know, hey, except Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua is my hero, and I'm just looking so forward to seeing that fight this afternoon at 5.
Well, look, that was our next question. Well, you know, what about Anthony Joshua? Say, you know, what's your perspective of it?
Oh, man, he is a promoter's dream. He's, to me, he's a great fighter. He has charisma. Oh, my goodness, the look, the physique. I know the men like him, but, you know, us women, we really like him. and he has skills. I like the skills. I just think he's the total package as a heavyweight fighter. I would like to see him, even though Deontay is a Southern guy, and I'm all for my Southern guy, until he fights Anthony Joshua.
So Anthony Joshua is your darling, huh?
Oh man, this afternoon I'm my buddies are coming over, we're watching the fights. I'm serving them champagne with strawberries. Hey, because it's a Joshua fight. It's no ordinary fight. It's a Joshua fight.
So what do you have to think about those 80,000 fans that's coming to the fight? And also how the weigh-ins are jam-packed. You can't move nowhere. It's like a Muhammad Ali thing.
I hear people saying comparing him to Muhammad Ali. I wouldn't necessarily compare him to Muhammad Ali. Because Muhammad Ali did things in and outside of the ring that made him great. Right now, Joshua was only known as a fighter. Until, Ali was involved in political situations, which made him different from a lot of other athletes, period. So to get to I wouldn't compare him. I mean, he can sell tickets. He's charming. He's a great fighter. But that's what I'm saying. Everyone is seeing something. The general fight fan is even watching his fights. That's more than Mayweather had people watching his fights, but Mayweather didn't sell out like that.
Right, you're absolutely right. I mean, to see live fights like that and those type of crowds, man, oh man. You think they said Dante Walker went over there and demanded Anthony Joshua to have a meeting, then flew back. I didn't understand that move.
Well, you know what the problem is, and this is what I read box. I'm up from at 2 a.m. to between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. every morning. I read all international boxing news. The problem I'm seeing with Deontay right now, you really have a promoter to speak on your behalf, and you trying to negotiate this deal as a fighter is not working for you. You're just coming off as looking kind of silly at times to me with the demeanor and the things that you're saying when, hey, it's business. It's a sport to some people, but it's a business to us. So you need to have
absolutely.
I mean, if you're going to handle your business, saying all this stuff that you're saying right now, trying to get attention from the media or, being angry or saying, I'm not going over there because they're not going to let me in the ring because he don't want to be. Hey, it would be to your advantage to be there regardless. You need more fans. You need international fans. So you want to fight him? Be there at the fight. You don't have to get in the ring. It's not,
his
promoter is not your promoter. I wouldn't let you in my ring, not unless I had a contract with you.
Right. And Ron Hearns said that he would gladly be Dante Wilder's promoter. I'm pretty sure he would. But Wilder needs, it's a shame Don slowed down like it, but King had a Dante Wilder and the things that he could do punch. Let me tell you something. His name would be buzzing second to none.
Because what is his setup right now? What's his name?
Al Haymon.
Haymon. No. That puts on events for Haymon. You know what I'm talking about? He used to be with HBO.
Oh, Tom Watkins.
Lou Duba. You know I'm going too bad. Lou DiBella.
Yeah, Lou DiBella.
So Lou DiBella puts on the events, but actually, unlike Anthony Joshua, who has Eddie Hearns negotiating his deals and speaking on his behalf, that's what Deontay is missing. And to a fan, I'm sure they believe the hype that, the fighter did everything, he did all this, he knows everything. No, the fighter is a fighter. When he got into the business as a fighter, he made a choice then to be a boxer and not on the other business side of it until later on. I think Deontay just needs a someone. I don't know. I mean, he has contracts. What he got? JD's is his manager and his trainer, and then you got Mark Breland as a trainer. You got Shelly Finkel as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
What Al Haymon has the TV contract, I guess, right? And Lou DeBell is the promoter of record.
Yeah, that's what they said, that Deontay Wilder has too many people in his pocket and it's going to be tough to cut a deal. But without further ado, let me ask you this here. What else would you like to talk about? I know you're in some business ventures, and what can we expect from you down the road?
Well, hopefully we can wrap up the South Africa project we're working on to get that off the ground. And I'm working with the Vietnam Boxing Federation because professional boxing had been banned in Vietnam since 2002, but they won't in 2015 they established a federation. So I've been working with them trying to help them get professional boxing off the ground over there. Of course, in their situation, it's not just a matter of doing events. It's everything, the federation being established, the promoters being licensed, the officials being licensed. So I have my friend Lan Lu, who just recently moved from Cape Town over to Barcelona. Originally we met in Dubai. I met her in Dubai. She was seated at a table next to me on New Year's Eve. I was actually in Dubai to meet with Vladimir Burdon, who was promoting boxing over there at the time. I just happened to meet Lan Lu. We became friends, and she's been working with me on a lot of projects now, and really, really, I just really love her, and I think she'll do well in boxing. So
well,
that's what I'm working on right now, in addition to perhaps something maybe in Nigeria.
Oh, okay. Now, what's your website address where people can come see, read about you, and look at all of those great pictures and videos you got up there? What's your
sunshineboxing.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sunshineboxing.com is the website, or Jackie Sunshine Smith on Facebook. I probably do more now on Facebook than I do on the website. I just left those photos up there on the website for But, yeah, so that's the website is sunshineboxing.com, and Facebook is Jackie Sunshine Smith. Then I have the Sunshine Boxing Show page as well as Sunshine Boxing, Inc.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show with myself, Aaron Snowa, and our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Thank you for coming on the show, Jackie.
Thank you. You know what, Bob? He didn't talk about me and him with Don King. The times he came to Atlanta when I was a local promoter for the Holyfield Bean fight, and Aaron was in Atlanta then. How did you like Atlanta, Aaron?
Atlanta's beautiful because it got Jackie Sunshine Smith there. I wouldn't say nothing other, but she introduced me to a lot of people, a lot of officials, the mayor, and you know all the political people know who you are, Jackie, and you're a credit to boxing, second to none. You know you do a lot for boxing, and we appreciate you, Jackie. And
Thank you so much. And congratulations on being inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame. Hey, that's a big one there. I've been inducted into the Georgia Boxing Hall of Fame, but I haven't been inducted into any national one. So that's a great accomplishment for you and all the work you've done in boxing.
Well, I'd like to thank you for that, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
very humble.
I can get there someday, and hopefully I can be there in April next month when you get inducted.
Well, God willing, that's all I have to say. But, Jackie,
okay.
Thank you so much for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show. I'm Aaron Snow, Bob Murray, the radio aficionado, and our special guest, Jackie Sunshine Boxing. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Hey, we look forward to
Yeah. We look forward to that Vietnam, man. When she gets Vietnam, we'll add that to our list of countries that we're going to be following here.
Yeah, in Nigeria too.
So we'll keep an eye on all that.
Yeah, but without further ado, Bob, what did you? We have a from Schuylkill County a special fighter that was from Schuylkill County in Tamaqua and up in Luzerne. So. Talk a little bit about
We got 5 minutes here. We'll just do a little history to keep the pattern going. But we'll talk about a guy named Bill Speary. He was born back in May 4th, 1918 in Nanticoke, PA, which is just outside Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area. Died October 24th, 1967 at the age of 49. He had an amateur record of 183 wins, 15 losses. And the interesting thing is every single one of those losses he reversed in a return bout. So that's something. And then he turned pro, and he turned pro back in 1940. But let's look at the amateur career real quick here. He was big time when he was 19 to 21 years old. We're talking about 1937 through 39. He was a Diamond Belt champion, Middle Atlantic AAU champion, New York Daily News Golden Glove champ, New York Golden Gloves Tournament of Champions, Inner City Golden Gloves, and the National AAU, like I said, 37, 38, and 39. Fought mostly as a flyweight, then moved up to bantamweight. And he had fought the guy named Johnny Aiello 5 times, might know that name. He won 4 of those fights. And his final amateur bout was a win against Harvey LaSalle, February 1st, 1940, in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania. And we'll get into that just a little bit, in another second or so, because that was the fight that he, final amateur bout, turned pro a week later, February 7th, 1940. He won a TKO over Tony Hayes, who was also making his debut. And he had a pro record of 29 wins, 23 losses, 2 draws, 7 KOs, was ranked number one by the Ring Magazine's annual ratings in 1940 as a featherweight. He's also a member of the Wyoming Valley Boxing Hall of Fame. And he had lost twice to Willie Pep in 1943, losing by decisions both times. And he had fought some other big names like Harry Jeffrey, lost 2 out of 3 to him, and Mike Raffa. One of the fights was actually up in Kingston at the Armory there. And his last win came on November 13, 1942, against Pedro Hernandez. He won on points, and that was in Providence, Rhode Island. And his last fight was KO'd by Pat Jelly at the Biscayne Arena in Miami, October 11, 1945. But two interesting things. May 3rd, 1940, he KO'd the same Harvey LaSalle, who was his last amateur opponent. And that was LaSalle's debut, and it was only pro fight that Harry LaSalle had. And that was at Liberty Hall in Tamaqua. And I just want to mention that that reopened in 2012 as a newly renovated apartment complex on East Broad Street, on the east side of Tamaqua, and there's a lot of history in that building. And finally, just want to point out that he did win his first 20 fights, but lost 10 out of the last 11 with a draw in there, too. So that 29-23 record, came out and then kind of faded away towards the end of his career. But this is one of those guys, we got 90 seconds left, and we got it all in.
Yeah, we got it
and,
all in.
Tamaqua. We just wanted to talk about that Tamaqua Liberty Hall, it was called, man. And like, you talk about him, Aaron, a lot. So I figured we'd just touch base and pull one of those fighters out and say, this is a guy that fought in Tamaqua. Bill
Speary
was his name.
That was a great program up there. You know, his brother Thomas and Billy Spears, who he was, you know, all of them, man. That Tamaqua program was second to none. It produced a lot of great amateur champions and world champions at the time. So we have 20 seconds left. Anything else, Bob?
No, just again, this guy fought all over our area, Fairgrounds in Allentown, Philly, Baltimore, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area, and, of course, Tamaqua. And we're going to keep looking for some of these little nuggets, too, over the
okay,
as we move on. But, yeah, everybody get ready for the big fight tonight. Coming up this afternoon, too, the way, like, you know, it's going to be, like I said, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and without further ado, our condolences to our historian, Tony Trim, and on vacation, our other boxing historian, Henry Hatha. We look forward to seeing you again and hearing from you again. Hey, look, fellas, our prayers and blessings go out to you, but have time to heal, and Henry, come on back. We need y'all.
And I'd like to thank you for tuning in to World Boxing Review Radio Show. I'm Aaron Snow, and our boxing radio aficionado, Bob Murray.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.